This morning we continue to follow the work of the Holy Spirit through the lives of the apostles. And so today's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5. Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. Hear now these words. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the street and laid them on cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow may fall and some of them as he came by. A great number of people were also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Then the high priest took action, he and all those who were with him, that is, the sect of Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel and sent to prison to have them brought. But when the temple police went there, they did not find them in the prison, so they turned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and a guard standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them and wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, and without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. When they brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him with his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witness to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they had heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He was also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, because if this plan of undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God." They were convinced by him, and they recalled in the apostles. They had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And as they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as Messiah. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. And so, in chapter 5, we were seeing where the high priest is really cracking down on this new Jewish, this new faith of Christianity. Now, it starts off talking about how that the people in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas were impressed by the apostles and their teaching. And it said, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women. In other words, the church was just exploding as more and more these Jewish people came forward and said, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah sent by God. He was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. And then with the church leaders themselves, they were so filled with the Holy Spirit that listen to what they did. It says, so they carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on the cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow may fall on some of them as he came by. There was a belief that the Holy Spirit was so filled in these individuals that it'd be like if Peter was preaching here Sunday and he walked outside, the sun's coming up in the east, so his shadow would be hitting this direction. And you have folks lined up, their loved ones, hoping that his shadow would hit them, and doing so would heal them. And I've talked about how people came in from the towns nearby and brought in those who were sick and tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Now, you think that the higher-ups are like, well, praise be to God, you know, these folks are out here are preaching and praying and running off devils and healing folks. This is something to be proud of. But it said that the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Now remember, we talked about earlier how about Sadducees and Pharisees and the difference. Pharisees were more out in the country. They're the sort of the lay speakers, ministers. And Jesus rubbed elbows with them from time to time. But Jesus and the Pharisees actually had a lot in common. They took the whole Old Testament as divine scriptures. They believe in demons and angels. And perhaps most importantly, Pharisees believe in a resurrection. They believe at the end of time, God will raise all the righteous to life. That's a promise found in the book of Daniel. The Sadducees, however, believe when you die, that's pretty much it. If at best your soul may be somewhere floating around, not doing a whole lot. And others thought it's kind of like turn off the light switch, blowing out the candle. That was the end of it. So they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they sure didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And so being filled with jealousy, they took the apostles, arrested them, and threw them in the prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. You know, Cadence put out a song today saying, you know, he set me free. Of course, that line here about open the prison doors. No, maybe we could pick that song about, you know, like a bird from prison bars had flown, right? I throw that one out there, sorry. By the way, though, he wrote both of those songs, so after E. Brumley. Yes. And what did the angel tell him to do? He says, go, stand in the temple, and tell the people the whole message about this life. And they were saying, boys, don't run off yet. Go back to the temple and keep doing what you've been doing. And so daybreak, they went back to their teaching. And then we have this section I thought was kind of comical. So here comes the high priest and the council. They're having this big meeting. And the high priest tells the bailiff, bailiff, go bring in the prisoners. And he walks off. And he comes back in, and he comes back empty-handed. Hey, bailiff, you're supposed to have at least 11 folks handcuffed in here. What's going on? And he says, well, I went to the dungeon there. The door was locked, and we had guards. But when I opened the door, no one was in there. Some of you may be old enough to see a movie called The Shawshank Redemption. Remember that? They opened the jail cell and wonder where Andy went to. And I won't say too much. You might not have seen it when they were in the movie. You know, the warden got surprised. Same thing happened here. They got surprised. What do you mean they're not in there? The door is locked. It's guarded. Where they went to? I mean, who is this? Harry Houdini? And you can imagine all the confusion and uproar going on. No, what happened? Where did they go to? And then someone, bless her heart, comes in and says, "Hey, high priest, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." What? Go arrest them. And it says they brought him in without violence. Why? Because the soldiers were afraid of being stoned by the people. In other words, they knew that the apostles were so loved by the Jewish people in the temple. There wouldn't be none of this police brutality nonsense. It's like, we need to come with us. We need to talk to you down the office. And so they brought him in, and the high priest questioned them and saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." You may recall that goes back to Peter and John healing the man who was lamed. "And yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." They were saying, "You're blaming us because Jesus is death." And Peter and the apostle says, "We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree." In other words, Peter said, "I'm not letting you off the hook. You're guilty." "And God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior." Why? "That he might give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins." Why did Jesus die on the cross? He did it so we had a way to repent and be forgiven of our sins. And then he ends by saying, "And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Well, he says this. He naturally made a bunch of enemies in there, because all the Sadducees wanted to kill him. Now, the Sanhedrin, though, not only has Sadducees, but also has some Pharisees. And one of these Pharisees was a guy named Gamaliel. We know him from Jewish writings. He was a very brilliant, very thoughtful. He had a student by the name of Paul, by the way. We'll get to later on this year, probably. And he says, send these guys outside. We need to talk about this. No, send them outside, shut the door. And he said, "No, my fellow Israelites, you better stop and think about this." He said, "Don't you remember one time I had that guy named Thaddeus, and he acted like he was somebody important, and then he got killed. And then at the time we were taking the census, and this guy named Judas led a revolt." That back when Jesus was a kid. And then he got killed. And he says, "So my advice is keep away from these men and leave them alone." Why? Because this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be fighting against God himself. So notice that Gamaliel is not a Christian, but it's like he's open-minded. What if God did raise this Jesus from the grave? Gamaliel is a Pharisee. He believes in the resurrection. What if? What if? So his advice is, leave these 11 guys alone. If they're imposters, it will fall apart and they'll get killed. If it's the real deal, you won't be able to stop it. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about the apostles and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because it could not fail. And then it says they were convinced by him. And when they call in the apostles, they have him flogged. Now, this isn't some little slap on the wrist. In Jewish culture, to be flogged, you got flogged what they call 40 times minus 1. For those of you who are mathematically challenged, that'd be 39 times. And so they had 11 men out here, and they said, "Give them 39 whippings." And he said to them, "No, don't be speaking anymore in this name of Jesus." Yeah. Now, I was struck by, in one chapter, we've seen two different ways the Lord responded. In the first half, the Lord responded by seeing an angel, opening up prison doors, setting them free, like a bird from prison bars had flown. But then at the end of the chapter, they weren't executed, but the Lord allowed them to be severely beaten. Why is that? And the short answer is, we don't know. In our own lives, we don't know why God will sometimes do something miraculous in our lives and open up doors. And there are times he allows us to suffer for his name's sake. God has his own reasons and purpose for this. But regardless what happens, when they opened the prison door open, they went back to preaching. And what happens after they got beaten? As they led the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. What did Jesus say in that Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who are persecuted for the cause of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, as it was for the prophets persecuted long before you. You see, either way, you win. When you get in a situation and God does something miraculous, you win. When you get persecuted, Jesus said you're blessed. You're like the prophets of old, and great is your reward in heaven, and you're blessed. Your enemies can't win either way. You can't lose either way. And so they left, and every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. In other words, it doesn't matter where we get set free or we get beaten up. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to be faithful. And we're going to claim that Jesus did die on the cross and was buried. And he did that so we'd be forgiven. And on the third day, he rose again and then sent us the Holy Spirit. And we know when our time comes to face death, that we have to look forward not to death, but to our own resurrection on the last day. So what about you this morning? Would you be shocked if God did a miracle in your life? Would you be shocked if God let you face some persecution, some hard times for his name's sake? No, don't be shocked, because it could go either direction. But what should be the same is that whether we're being rescued or we're being persecuted, that we're faithful to the end. And just like these apostles, every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. Thanks be to God. Amen.